We're talking about the state budget on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being with us. Governor Tony Evers is getting pressure this week from outside groups to sign the state budget as passed by the Republican-controlled legislature, and his deadline is Friday. Governor hasn't given really any indication whether he'll sign the budget with partial vetoes or reject the entire spending package full out. So have you seen the budget the state legislature passed? Do you think it's a good compromise? Would you like the governor to sign it in its entirety? And if not, what parts do you think he should take his veto pen to? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. She co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be a busy holiday week for you. I mean, something's going to happen at some point here in and around, I guess. We have a holiday tomorrow, Independence Day. So last week, the legislature finished its version of the budget. Help us understand what happens next, what's brewing.
So what's happening right now is that the governor has the official budget document on his desk. So after it passes both chambers of the state legislature, it goes through a couple procedural hurdles where the leaders sign the top sheets. That's what it's called. And Assembly Speaker Voss actually had a little ceremony, which was kind of unusual for signing the top sheet last week and sending the budget to the governor. So right now, what he's doing is just sort of combing through that budget with a fine-tooth comb, deciding what he wants to keep in it, if anything, and as you said, whether or not he's going to veto the entire thing or just kind of make little nips and tucks here and there.
Oh, yeah. So Voss is getting like the optics there, like having a photo opportunity to say, hey, I get behind this budget.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, we saw him do this on another bill, or actually a kind of a collection of bills, the four abortion bills that passed the state assembly and the Senate, actually, a couple weeks ago. The kind of public ceremony of signing these things to send them to the governor does send a statement, right? It kind of gets the speaker out there and has him say, this is something that I really support. Mm-hmm. This is important. Just sort of an extra PR push to highlight what they did there.
Has the governor signaled in any way how he may respond to this budget, whether it is partial or full veto, or if he will sign it, you know, as is?
He really hasn't. You know, the governor has played his cards really close to his chest throughout this process. Reporters were obviously asking him rather frequently throughout budget negotiations, what are you thinking? What's your thought about this particular provision or this proposal? And what he consistently said to us was, I am not going to make any statements about the budget until I have the final document on my desk, because it does change a lot through the process. We saw amendments in the final day in the assembly, not so much in the Senate, but that has certainly happened in the past. So the governor said, I'm not going to talk about something that in essence doesn't exist yet. Now he has that. We really haven't heard anything from him in terms of, you know, what he's doing to the full document.
And help us understand partial veto power, because that is unique. What does that look like? What can and can't the governor change through a partial veto?
So this is really interesting, because the Wisconsin governor actually has one of the most powerful veto pens in the country. And that's because he has what's called a partial veto power. So under current state law, he can take out words, numbers, and punctuation from the budget. This has changed over the course of the past 30 years or so. There have been a couple constitutional amendments that have passed the legislature and then a statewide voter referendum to actually rein in some of these powers. One of those things that was reined in was called the Vanna White veto. And that was actually a veto that the Wisconsin governor could take out letters from words to build new words, right? Vanna White. And then
Wheel
there
of Fortune.
And then there was one, I think this one's fun too, the Frankenstein veto.
Oh, I thought you were going to call it the Patsy Jackers.
Right. I wish they were all game show themed. This one's just horror themed. But the Frankenstein veto, he would take out words to combine sentences. So both of those things are no longer allowed, I'm sure much to the chagrin of many governors, because it takes away some of their power. But they still have quite a bit of power to change.
Well, it shows you the power of an English major, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And creativity.
Creativity, right. So this budget on the governor's desk, shortest in decades, meaning the number of pages is low. So what is the motivation behind a short budget?
So really, Republican lawmakers that control the Assembly and the Senate were working to do kind of whatever they could to limit the governor's power to use that partial veto. One of the ways they did that was to reduce the overall size of the budget, sort of thinking the less he has to work with, the less he can do, sort of a smaller canvas. So typically, budgets in Wisconsin have been between 1,000 and 1,500 pages in recent years. The budget that the governor himself proposed earlier this year, I think, was around 1,100. The budget that passed the legislature was just about 500 pages. So this is a much, much smaller budget than we've had in the past.
Any indication why that is? Or
well, you know, they were just kind of trying to limit the size.
So they're making a concerted effort.
Oh, absolutely. This is something that they've been very proud of and pointed out. Speaker Voss has talked about this. He said that they took a lot of policy out of the budget. They took a lot of sort of extraneous detail, kind of fluffy stuff. I think he might, not in those words, but those sort of things out of the budget. Another thing that they did, interestingly, was kind of tighten up, or what they've been calling in the Capitol, veto-proofing some of the language. So they turned shall-nots into cannots, because with that partial veto power, think about if the governor has the phrase shall not do something, he could veto the not and it becomes a shall do something.
Oh, goodness.
Right. So they did that. They also changed a language that was not to exceed into up to. Sort of a similar thing there. You can take out the not to and then have exceed. So lots of sort of creativity and detail thought went into crafting this budget this time.
We're getting up to speed on this year's state budget with Laurel White. She's WPR State Capitol reporter. What questions do you have about where this budget stands? What do you think Governor Evers should respond to in the legislature's budget? Should he use his powerful veto powers? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's take a call now with Carol with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Carol.
Hello. I think what Governor Evers should do should start out by vetoing, if he can, the part that says they will not accept federal money for the Badger Care expansion. And I'm not sure what else he should veto, because the problem is if he vetoes it, they might give him even less money than they already did give him. And then they'll blame him for vetoing it, so he can't win that way, maybe he feels. So, but I think he should actually veto the whole budget.
Carol, thank you for the call. And, to her point there, Governor Evers campaigned on including in his proposed budget the option of expanding Medicaid in Wisconsin with those federal dollars not included in the legislature's version. Is that going to be a major sticking point here?
That was a huge part of the governor's campaign. It was a huge part of his budget proposal earlier this year. It's been called kind of a linchpin of the budget. He was coming up with about $324 million in state money by accepting that federal expansion and leveraging more than $1 billion in federal money as well. So that's certainly a big thing, and that's something that folks who have talked about the possibility of a full veto have focused on. Another big change from what the governor proposed to what Republicans approved is about a $900 million gap in K-12 education funding. The governor proposed $1.4 billion. Republican lawmakers approved $500 million. So there are a lot of big differences between the governor's proposal and the budget that passed. It is interesting to note, though, as people talk about this full veto potential, that hasn't happened in Wisconsin since an executive budget process was rolled out in 1931. So if Governor Evers chooses to veto the entire budget, it's going to be a historic action, unprecedented.
We learned from the Wisconsin Policy Forum this week that the legislature's budget would leave less money in the state's general fund, the pot of money that pays for the schools, the prisons, many other programs. Lowest balance since 2011. Could that place pressure on the state in the future? What do we know there?
So this is kind of a wonky element of the budget. What the general fund is used for is sort of the bread and butter of state government. So we use the general fund to pay for things like school, healthcare, roads. And that carryover, that balance in the general fund is important to a lot of people that look at budgets because they say, we need to have a little bit of a cushion there. It's sort of like having a savings account, a little bit left over, you know, break in case of emergency sort of situation. That will be a small number if the governor approves this budget. I think it's important to note that the governor, the budget that he himself proposed was a similar number to what Republicans approved. So they were both kind of skating on thin ice in terms of the balance in the general fund at the end of this. They weren't unique in that. I think it's also important to note that that is not the only cushion that state government has.
It has a rainy day fund.
It has a rainy day fund.
And how is that doing?
The rainy day fund is actually doing quite well. So the rainy day fund, according to these projections that this report looked at, and they're from the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, so that's where they got these numbers, a very solid source. The rainy day fund is going to have about $617 million in it, which is huge. For a little context, in 2011, it had just about $2
million. So it's growing.
That's really grown. But I think what people are pointing to is when you look at the combination of the rainy day fund and the balance in the general fund put together, it's still a smaller number than most people, or at least watchers of this perspective would like.
Talking about the state budget on the governor's desk, and you can join in the conversation. Do you support the budget hiking vehicle registration, title fees to pay for road repairs? How do you feel about rejecting Medicaid expansion? Join in at 800-642-1234. State Capitol reporter Laurel White is here taking your questions, gathering your insights. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Talking about the two-year budget passed by the legislature, now on Governor Evers' desk. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The state budget under review by the governor would leave Wisconsin with the smallest balance of money in the bank since 2011. It's according to a report out from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. It's a public policy think tank. So what do you make of that state balance sheet? Are you comfortable with that spending plan? If you were governor, what action would you take on the budget? How does this budget stack up in the areas of healthcare and education? Join in at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is with us. She is WPR State Capitol reporter, hunkered down at the Capitol waiting on this budget action. Laurel, we mentioned K-12 schools earlier. Even though the legislature approved significantly less money than the governor had wanted, the amount would still be more than the last budget. How are education groups viewing this increase?
So it's interesting because we actually got a little bit of insight from a powerful education group in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Association of School Boards sent a letter to Governor Evers on Monday, I believe, asking him to use his partial veto power to increase per pupil aid in Wisconsin by about $25 in one of the years of the budget. They said that if the governor doesn't do that, their schools are going to have a hard time meeting the costs of inflation. So that's certainly something that is new and feedback that we've gotten since the governor has the final document on his desk. Now, that being said, a lot of other groups Republicans have pointed to have said that they're pleased with the increase. This is a roughly $500 million increase, which they say in terms of actual dollars is the biggest one. Now, the last budget passed under Governor Scott Walker had a $636 million increase for education. So we are coming off a couple years of funding bumps there.
Let's take another call now. Kim joining us from Waupun. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I really want Tony Evers to veto the entire budget. I want the 8-cent gas tax. I commute 2 hours round trip for my business. For some people, they can't afford the extra $10 or $15 fee. So the gas tax is more, in my mind, more suitable for everybody to pay in. I also have no problem, and I want more money going to my school. I live in a rural area. There is less funding in a rural area than there is in a larger city. So I personally think that he should veto because Ross and Fitzgerald are not the governor and lieutenant governor. And to have them taken away their power, he is showing he's got power.
Kim, thanks for the call. And Jeff from DePere also called to support raising the gas tax. Transportation funding delayed the last state budget. So, Laurel, where did the legislature find money for infrastructure in this budget? What do we know about transportation?
So Kim referenced it a little bit there. Essentially, what Republican lawmakers did this time around was increase vehicle title and registration fees in Wisconsin. The title fee that you pay when you buy your car, they increased that by $95, pretty big increase there. The registration fee, that annual fee, they increased by $10. And they say that's going to generate a pretty big chunk of revenue, new revenue for the State Department of Transportation, the biggest infusion of new revenue that we've seen for several years, about $393 million. But it isn't as much as what the governor proposed with that 8-cent gas tax increase. The kind of back and forth on that gas tax increase that's been going on for quite a while now is that opponents of it say it's not a sustainable solution because more people are moving to hybrid vehicles and electric vehicles, and they don't see the gas tax being a long-term funding source for the state of Wisconsin. But then again, there are a lot of other people that say the gas tax is sort of a shared burden by people who live and work in Wisconsin and then tourists that come from Illinois and Minnesota and other places that use Wisconsin roads.
Capturing the drivers flowing through.
Exactly. Yeah. They sort of, you know, contribute to wear and tear on the roads. So the argument there is they should contribute to maintenance of the roads.
Let's go to Rick in La Crosse now. Hi, Rick.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
My comment is for the first time in quite a while in Wisconsin, I've lived here 70 years, we have in front of a governor a actual bipartisan bill that's signed by both Democrats, Republicans, everybody. They presented it to the governor. That doesn't happen very long in government anymore at all. And when you have a bipartisan anything, the governor should just sign it. I mean, there's no reason for all this diddling around. Just sign it, and we'll all go have a nice 4th of July.
Rick, thanks for the call. Laurel, is the legislature's budget being touted as a good compromise from what Governor Evers had proposed?
You know, there's an interesting dynamic there. I think it's important to note that if you're weighing something as truly bipartisan, sort of what do you look at as factors there, this budget did not get any Democratic votes in the Assembly or the Senate. That was partially because, you know, some of those big things that the governor proposed, like the Medicaid expansion, weren't in there. Other issues, legalizing medical marijuana, a lot of other things Democrats wanted weren't in this budget. But on the other side of the coin, Republican lawmakers have said we did things in this budget that we wouldn't have done if Governor Walker were still in office. This is a unique budget. One thing that they've pointed to and that Democrats have pointed to is that the income tax that's in this budget is aimed at lower income individuals in Wisconsin. And Republicans said if Governor Walker was still in office, for example, they probably would have done an across the board tax cut that wasn't specifically focused on lower income individuals. So Democrats are seeing that as a win, and Republicans are seeing that as an area that they can point to that they said, hey, look, we compromised here.
So the governor and the legislature, they both want an income tax cut, and they're kind of disagreeing then on how to get there?
Yeah, so that was a big part of the debate on the income tax cut. The governor wanted to fund it by scaling back a tax credit for manufacturers in Wisconsin, sort of limiting that tax cut to individuals in a bracket that weren't the highest income earners that accept that manufacturing and agriculture tax credit. He also wanted to roll back a capital gains language that we have in state law right now for wealthy people in Wisconsin. Republican lawmakers considered those things tax increases. So they said, absolutely no way are we going to include tax increases in this budget. So there were certainly different funding mechanisms. But at the end of the day, what Governor Evers wanted to do was provide relief for low-income individuals in Wisconsin. And that's what Republican lawmakers did in the final bill.
Okay, so scenario is here. What if the governor vetoes the entire budget? Where do we go from there?
So if the governor vetoes the entire budget, we are in for several more weeks, if not months, of negotiations. Assembly Speaker Voss told us last week that if the governor vetoes the entire budget, he does not expect the assembly to come back in to take up sort of a new round of negotiations until October.
Oh, wow. That would be a long time.
Right. So obviously that's going to create some problems for schools in Wisconsin, for certain departments, kind of creating a budget lag there.
Right. Because how can you build your own budget for a school or a district if you don't really know the numbers as to what you can base it off of?
Exactly. There's a lot of uncertainty there that a number of people aren't comfortable with, I think, to say the least. Assembly Speaker Voss obviously has said that. Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald has said that the governor should sign the budget because he's not going to get a better deal. Essentially, Senator Fitzgerald said there was a lot of lifting, there was a lot of negotiation to get to the point that they did with the budget that's on the governor's desk right now. And he said, we're not going to do better, and he might not get something that's even as good as this. So he should sign it now and get take what's been given to him at this point. So some strong language from the leaders, certainly.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. She co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, the companies that build our smartphones and our cars and our appliances, they don't want you or your repairmen to be able to fix them. And the Right to Repair movement is fighting back. That's just ahead and on point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.